guys. That's great. Thank you, team. That was great. Amazing. It will be our prayer this morning. First, the prayer from my own heart, that I would get my eyes off the things that it so often sticks on, and that I would see something way more important and way more eternal, and that would be the face of Jesus Christ. We were singing Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, 1995. I was at the Silver Dome in Pontiac, Michigan. Dave was with me, Dave Nicholson. 76,000 men, we sang Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty. We thought the roof was going to come off. And I just thought at that time, I've shared it with you before, what it's going to be like when we get real voices. And we can sing with a pure heart. We can give praise where it should be and how it should be. It's amazing. Heaven will contain it, but it will be heaven that needs to be in order to contain it. Amen? Now, I love this time of year. I love the fact that we're starting new programs. Sunday school, it was like a beehive of activity here last week. We've got divorce care for kids and adults. We've got programs that are ramping up. I love a new starts, new programs, new energy, new focus. I used to get a new binder this time of year when I went back to school, the little stickies on it and the pencil case, and it stayed there for the whole semester. Never touched it again. My mother used to say, you're not bringing your books to school. Oh my, we don't need those books. Love to have new things, new programs. We want Bethel to be a place of new focus, or fresh focus, I should say, and new energy. But it's based on some established things that are taking place and have taken place, and things that we've stated publicly as what this place stands for and what this place believes in. If you go to our website, BethelBibleChapel.com, I hope each one is plugging into this site weekly. If you go to this, and then you would go to About Us. Len's going to take us through there. And About Us, you go to Our Purpose. You're going to read some amazing stuff. This is what it says. For those that can read that, we'll blow it up later, but there it is. The purpose of Bethel Bible Chapel is to be a caring, Christ-centered community that worships God, proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through biblical instruction, prayer, and fellowship, equips the believers to serve God and share their faith as a way of life. Isn't that great? Isn't that a great purpose statement? I don't think we could have put anything more in there. Gabrielle, who's our HR girl at work, says there's too many words. She says your vision statement needs to be short and succinct. Well, you know what? I think this is clear, direct, and solid and sound. I love this. I love the fact that, let's read it again together. All of us together, I'll try to lead out. The purpose of Bethel Bible Chapel is to be a caring, Christ-centered community that worships God, proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through biblical instruction, prayer, and fellowship, equips the believers to serve God and share their faith as a way of life. Amen. Well, one of the ministries here at Bethel that is at the heart of this purpose statement is our small group ministry. We believe that the meeting in small groups has been biblically modeled by Jesus Christ. In fact, he had a small group. They were a motley crew, but he had his small group, his disciples. We believe that small groups continued into the early church. We read this in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 20. We're going to, if we have time this morning, go into that a little bit to get a snapshot of what a small group looked like in the first century. We believe that small groups have been instructed by Scripture. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it instructs us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, both corporately and personally. And we believe it's encouraged by a promise from Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. See, small groups started off in the New Testament. This is not a new plan. This is not new. I got a program that'll plug into 2015-16. This is from the beginning of the church. It was promised, encouraged by a promise, for where two or three are gathered together, the Lord Jesus Christ promises to be with us. The Lord has called the church, his bride, to do life together, both corporately and personally. Corporately meeting as an assembled church. I love doing this. There's nothing better than getting up and worshiping like we did this morning. First service, we remember the Lord in communion. In this second service, we're lifting high the name of Jesus, and we're telling the Lord what we think of him. That's just the most amazing thing to do this corporately. But personally, brings it to a completely different level. There's about 350 people in this room. And it's very difficult for us to connect to the type of connection and community that we're required to as fellowshipping believers as we swing the door in and out of church. Meeting together house to house, small group to small group, to encourage each other and to grow in Christ is, I believe, God's plan for the church. Small groups, 10, 12 people meeting throughout the week in a home atmosphere where it's comfortable and it's not threatening, and where a leader can take God's word and can open it, and we can worship together, we can pray together, we can have fellowship together, we can connect at a level that will support our Christian walk and our growth into Christ likeness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11 in the ESV says this. This is a statement of need for each one of us to participate in. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. You know, nowhere in Scripture does it suggest that we should be independent Christians, islands on our own. I don't see that in the New Testament. If you can show me, please do. I don't see that anywhere when we can be on our own doing our own thing. I used to debate with my father. My father used to say, you don't live to yourself. And I said, Dad, I want to live to myself. He says, you can't live to yourself. You're part of a body that needs each piece. And and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 suggests that each one of us that own Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and I trust that each one of us has come to the point in our life where we've taken our eyes off the world and we've turned our eyes towards Jesus. We've accepted him as the only Savior that can change our life, the only one that can make things straight. Right, Paul? Where would we be tonight, today, if we didn't have the enlightenment of the Spirit in our life through the power that came about when we trusted Jesus Christ and he turned us from dead bodies into live bodies? And I hope that's what is in your focus and in your reality of life this morning. But for each one of us that own Jesus Christ as Lord, we're part of the body of Christ. That's what Scripture tells us. And as part of the body, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, sealed on the day of conversion, empowered by the Spirit and given gifts. And each one of our gifts are given. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is very clear about this, that this body needs all its members, and each member given its parameter and requirement of use. That's the gifting. And with each gifting, it gives and supplies what the body needs to grow it up together as one strong unit. No schisms, nothing disconnecting it, but growing together. I used to play hockey for George Leach. And Jim Linklater and I played. He used to take care of me. And I'd start the fights and he'd finish them. And George used to say, I'd rather have a bunch of mediocre players that played as a team than a couple of superstars that do what they want to do. And isn't that what the Lord's looking for? He doesn't need superstars. He wants us to bow to the lordship of Christ in our life, that we can make changes based on the empowerment of his Spirit, that we can be a team. That's part of being in the body. The hand can't say, I don't need the foot, or the nose can't say, I don't need the ear, but we need each other to support this unit so it's strong and vibrant. We believe small groups is a place where the body can grow and flourish. God is working in and through this ministry. Now, you don't want to hear any more about this from me. We've got some testimonies this morning that are going to be shared with us. Two testimonies of real-time experience, of real-time God working in people's lives that you need to hear about and from. And the first couple that's going to come up, when I say first group, I should say, is Ken and Linda Belanger. And they're going to come up and share their testimony with us this morning. And then we're going to have another one. So Ken and Linda, can you come up and please share with us your experiences?
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, we're members of this church, and we're blessed to be members of this church, and we're honored to be members of this church. We have good mentors here, and they're leading us in the right direction. We know that for sure with our hearts. And the small groups is something that is a positive thing that if it hasn't been on your bucket list, hasn't been on your honey-do list, it should be. It should put it there because it's a place that everybody comes together, and if you have a way to get across between each other, it's a simple way. Like Andrew says, is you're in an environment where you're at home and you're comfortable. A lot of times that we feel that we don't have time. 168 hours in a week, 2 hours of those could be put to small groups, and it's all it's going to take. And I'm sure if anybody was to commit themselves to it, it'd be a well worthwhile thing to do. That's for sure.
Yes, I like Ken said, we really, really enjoy our small groups, and we've been to a couple of them, and it's really helped us grow with our walk with Jesus, to grow and to get mature in the Word. And the small groups has many good benefits. And like I said, as far as maturing and growing with the Word, and just listening and sharing with each other in a group, in a small, intimate, group of people that are just like you and me, and we just all have different issues, and to share and to hear, we really learn from each other. And it also teaches us how to study. We all have books that's on the topic of what we're to be, working with. So we, Ken and I will study together at home, of course, and then when we go to the group, we share there with each other, and then you even learn more. And we also learn about prayer, the power of prayer within a small group. Like Andrew said, there's a lot of people here, and we all can pray for each other, but how often are you even going to talk to each other as per se with this many people? But when you're in a small group, you get to know them and you become friends, you become a family. And all different age groups. We are involved with younger people, middle-aged people, grandma and grandpas, babies, just everybody. And everybody just cares about everybody. And the power of prayer that we have with each other really works. And also, we feel very grateful that we can have the freedom to go to each other's place and talk about the Lord. And because many countries, people are not allowed to do that. We have that freedom, and to think about that is really, really beneficial to us. And, on a night that we may go there, we'll go to somebody's house, and usually we all take turns bringing a little snack, something, just fruit or something simple, and they, provide the tea and coffee, and we have a little chat before we start. And then once we get going, we watch a little bit of a video that coincides with the books that we have. And then we just kind of, go around and see who choose to talk about or ask questions. The leader, he starts out with prayer, and he asks us questions, and we all talk. And if you don't choose to, you don't have to. There's no pressure. That's what's nice about it. And sometimes some of us learn just by listening. So, and we just try to encourage each other. And then it's really nice that at the end of the session, the leader will ask us if there's any prayer requests that we have for friends, family, or ourselves. And if we choose to, we you know, we share that. And it's really nice in maybe a week or two or a month down the road when you talk with each other and you hear these prayers are being answered. You know, in God's time, he answers prayer. So we just really would like to encourage people to maybe think about doing something like this. And like Ken said about the time frame, we all have a lot on our plate. But, you know, to take that extra little bit of time a week really helps you throughout the week. So, and we also want to thank Andrew and Jen, because we know they put a lot of work and time into getting this kind of group put together. So, and all the people who host the small groups and the leaders are very inspirational. And without you people, it wouldn't happen. So thank you.
Thank you, Ken and Linda. That was great. Candy Harding is going to come up and speak to us now.
Thank you, Andrew, for asking me to share what belonging to a small group has meant to me. I'd like to begin by saying that 8 years ago, when we came to Bethel Bible Chapel, it's been a very pleasant experience for us, and also a transforming experience. When we first came to Bethel, to put it into my husband Dave's words, it felt like Jesus met us at the door. And that was followed up by Grandma Joey's smiling face and sweet voice saying, "Can't you just feel the love here?" And we continued to feel the love as the weeks and the months followed, as we began to meet more and more of the Bethel family and be reunited with friends that we hadn't seen in years. And in no time at all, we were feeling very much at home here at Bethel. In a short time, my husband Dave, who I failed to mention in my opening words, who passed away 8 months ago, became involved with the men's breakfast. I became involved with ladies' coffee hour, and together we became involved with small groups. Small group became a very important part of our week. Being together with so many spiritually gifted men and women, sharing their wisdom, their experiences, and their love of the Lord with us was truly a blessing, and it would have to take bad weather or ill health to keep us away from those Wednesday evenings. My involvement with Ladies' Coffee Hour has been a very huge blessing to me. It was an opportunity to be among beautiful Christian women from Bethel and from churches all across the city and surrounding areas, joining together in one voice, praising, worshiping, and growing together in our faith in the Lord Jesus. After a couple of years, I was asked to chair that Ladies' Coffee Hour committee. It was a 2-year position that I accepted. I thought that because of my experience as a nurse manager, I had conducted staff meetings. I had organized Christmas festivities and retirement parties, and I thought that this was something that I could do. During that period, I became aware of how important prayer was to these women, and I could see God working in that ministry. And I was inspired, and I was uneasy, because I was not comfortable praying in front of people, or praying out loud for that matter. And it was at that time that James 5:16 spoke to me and became my prayer. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I learned that the word effectual means having or adapted to have adequate power to produce the desired effect. And adapted means fit for use. I knew that I was going to have to be adapted if my prayers were going to be affected, and that was the beginning of my transformation. And Dave was on the journey with me. Back in our small group, at the same time, we were studying experiencing God. And one of the topics was learning to be a servant of God. And the author gave three examples. The potter and the clay, saying that the clay must be moldable and remain in the hands of the potter if it's going to be effective. And there was that word again. Jesus came, the second example was, Jesus came as a servant of God, humble and obedient to do the will of God in redeeming humanity. Jesus was quoted in saying, the Son can do nothing of himself, only what he sees the Father doing. So here you have the clay that has to remain in the potter's hand to be effective, and even Jesus saying that there's nothing that he can do, it's all of the Father. Then the third example was the vine and the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The question was then asked, what's the difference between the quality of your service and the quantity of the lasting results? If God does the work or if you do the work? The answer being, with God, the quality is effective, and the results are lasting fruit, much fruit. When you do the work, or me, the quality is ineffective, and the results are fruitless. The vine and the branch has become to me a picture of the Holy Trinity working together in a believer. The Heavenly Father's the gardener, the one who does the work, and he's always working. Jesus is the heavenly vine of God's own planting. He is the source of life. The believer is the branch who must remain in the vine to be effective. And the Holy Spirit is the life-giving sap flowing from the vine through the branches, producing much lasting fruit. It is the fruit that feeds the perishing and edifies the saints. God was speaking to me, and I knew that these last 20 years since I had accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I had been serving him by depending on my strength, my abilities, my will. I had not been sensitive to the Holy Spirit all these years, and I felt like I must have been grieving him all these years. And I was humbled and broken. And my desire and my prayer became, I want a deeper, more reverent, more dependent relationship with the Lord so that my prayers and my service will be effective and will be fruitful. That was about 3 years ago that our walk with the Lord began, and our deeper walk with the Lord began. And our verse at that time became 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I know that as long as I am abiding in him, trusting in him, looking at the face of Jesus and not at my own self or my circumstances, that I can experience his peace and know his love and joy and the peace that passes understanding. And while working on this presentation, I went to my Bible to read those verses again. And I also read the following verse 19 that says, quench not the Holy Spirit. And that was the confirmation I need to get up here and speak this morning. Because I know that I need to learn more about the work of the Holy Spirit in me. I am still involved with the Ladies Coffee Hour ministry, but now I'm part of the prayer ministry. And it's a privilege for me to be among women that I consider to be true prayer warriors. And it's just such a privilege to be a part of that. And you ladies know who you are. And I am also still involved with the small group that has become more to me than I could have ever imagined. Our lives have been knit together by the Holy Spirit through worshiping, praising, learning, loving, praying, sharing, helping, needing, and depending on one another and the Lord Jesus. And it has become to me a picture of the body of Christ as God designed it to be, with Jesus as our head, and to God be the glory. You'll never guess what our small group studied the last time that we were together. Who is the Holy Spirit? I had nothing to do with that, but it was an answer to prayer. I would like to close, if I could, in prayer. I have a minute. Gracious and loving, holy and just, living and eternal triune God, God of love. I thank you, Father, for sending forth your word, your living truth, and for planting it in our hearts. I thank you for sending forth your Son, Jesus, our Redeemer, so that we might become children of God. I thank you for sending forth your Holy Spirit, who dwells in our hearts and enables us to live like children of God. I thank you, Father, that you gave your all to be our all in all. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Thank you, dear. That was great. Thank you very much. That was great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Candy. We're going to hear from Jennifer about our small group churchwide campaign that we've set up for the fall. And it just rolls right into what Candy said, because its title is All In.
All In. And to hear Candy tell how she would never be able to pray out loud, I'm so glad she prayed today, because I've always said to Andrew, you need to be in Candy's presence when she prays. No one prays like Candy. And so just to see the growth, and that's one of the things we do in small groups, is we want you to grow deeper in your relationship with God and with each other. And that's the place where that can happen. And just to see God use gifting in people, develop their gift, and then they can come into the church and use their gift with confidence. So our small group ministry, obviously Andrew and I are pretty passionate about it, and we want to encourage you to be involved. And this, at the beginning in September, when we kind of come back to a new year, we like to get on the same page with everyone doing the same thing. And this year, we have chosen a small book, and it's by Mark Batterson, called All In. You're one decision away from a totally different life. And the topic and our Sunday services will be based on the biblical principles in this book. It is a video-based study, and it will encourage us, it will challenge us, to resolutely follow God wherever he leads, by pointing out that if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And his definition of consecration is going all in and all out for the all in all, like Candy has said. So next week, we are going to have sign-ups in the foyer. We will be selling the books. They'll be available for $8. Wes at the Bible Bookstore was able to get us a really good deal. And the study guides were a little more expensive, but they're at $9. If you buy one of each, you'll get it for $16. We'll have those for sale. We'll have our small group sign-ups available. They'll be across the city on different nights, mostly Wednesday and Thursday nights. And we need host homes, but I think at this point we have enough host homes for the leaders that we have. And so we do look forward to you prayerfully considering being involved in this ministry. We will also have one study that will carry on from last year. Bill and Chris McLean will carry on with their Christian Foundation study in their home on Thursday nights. And that will be geared towards people who are new or maybe not new Christians, but really haven't grown, or don't really know what we all stand for here at Bethel and things like that. And so Bill and Chris are going to lead a small group on Wednesday night with All In, and then they're going to do Christian Foundations if you're interested in that on a Thursday night. And I'll let Andrew wrap up.
Well, it wouldn't be church if we didn't read. I want to read in Acts chapter 2. I'm not going to read as much because we have a few minutes, but as I said earlier, small groups isn't for the 21st century, although it's applicable for it, but it started in day one, day of Pentecost. There was about 120 followers of the way. They stood up with Peter. I imagine I would have loved to be in that day. When in Acts chapter 2, he called out those that would trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we read in verse 41 of, let's look at, we got 2 minutes here to read. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And go over to verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among themselves. Of course, they didn't sell their houses because they were meeting house to house. So, but they were, and I'm going to explain what that is. They continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were to be saved. The church was born the day of Pentecost. 3,000 plus 120. Some say there were somewhere around 4,000 believers that were in that city of Jerusalem. And they went to the temple. They hadn't totally come out of the temple worship, but they went to the temple courts, but then they met house to house. I'm guessing that the 120 that stood up with Peter were the small group leaders. And they arranged small groups from house to house. Just think of the logistics of how this could happen, that they went house to house. Let's just say there were 3,120. It would be quite a program that they met house to house and they fellowshiped. I want to look at four things really quickly that come from this verse. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Number one, they continued Bible study. They didn't have the full canon in Scripture like you and I had, but they had letters from John, they had letters from the apostles. The apostles were there amongst them. They had an interaction of teaching that were given supernaturally by the Holy Spirit to these men. God breathed as they would write it down, and they taught the apostles' doctrine. Bible study has always been essential to church life. And we feel that small groups isn't just a time to sit around and talk, but to actually study together. And you think about how that early church would have done this. They would have had leaders in each home that were competent in God's word to be able to pass on the doctrine of their faith so that others would tell others, and it was daily added to the number. So they were flourishing with Bible study. Secondly, there was fellowship. In fellowship, the Greek word translated for shelter, for this fellowship is actually sharing. They were sharing life together. They weren't just going to potlucks or what else do we do? Picnics. Oh, those are great things, but it was more than that. It was more than potlucks and picnics. It was doing life together in a fellowship, real-time interaction. They were meeting personal needs, joining together in real mission. Verse 44, I read, they had all things in common. They were ready to minister to whatever needs their brothers and sisters had. They were ready to reach out and share on that horizontal level where they could connect. And you know how you know that someone has a need? You have to be connected to them in community. And then we're finding in our small group, and this would have been modeled in the early church, that in order for us to understand where each other are, we have to get to know each other. And by interaction here in this setting, they would understand the needs. They would be able to reach out and meet some of those needs. They also knew the value of Christian friendship and Christian fellowship to strengthen their walk with the Lord. My mother used to always say, bad company corrupts good manners. And I don't mean that negatively, but I can tell you that I went through a time in my life where my friends, they were great guys, but they didn't pull me up spiritually. They pulled me down because I wasn't hanging with Christians. And the deal is that the Lord wants us to be encouraged by each other. In order for us to do that, we have to be connected to each other. And so that's our mandate here, is the Christian fellowship of sharing and fellowshipping so we can help each other. Thirdly, they were breaking bread. I read both verses. They were breaking bread, and they were breaking bread house to house. I think both concepts are here. Not only did they share communion in the remembrance as was given to the early church by the Lord, but I believe they shared meals together. I believe that both are in mind here, that we shared the Lord's Supper here this morning. We're invited guests to remember, to show forth his death until he comes. But now we go out and we're sitting around a table. What better place to have fellowship? You know, we made it a real choice in our family as our kids were growing up that I would always get home for supper and we would sit down together as a family. And we learned things at that time that we couldn't learn anywhere else. Sometimes they're pointed questions, whatever it may be, but what a time to connect at a table where it's non-threatening and we're fellowshipping over a meal. I believe that happened in the early church. I believe that happens in small groups. And the last, Candy touched on it, we all spoke about it, or it was all spoken through the testimonies this morning, Linda and Ken, but prayer. Absolute dependence on God. One of the things I learned here when I came to Bethel, we used to go to the Sunday night services at Old Bethel. And we'd sit around a table and people would actually ask questions about your family and then they'd pray for you. Imagine that. See, I came from a tradition that wasn't so close. And yet I found that people really cared and they really wanted to know how things were going and tell me what your struggles are so I can pray for you. And we do that in small group because some of the things we can never tell each other about in this setting. But in small group, we actually connected to a level where we interacted in prayer, real-time prayer, interceding, sharing in both the burdens and cares as well as the joy and the thanksgiving. I think that's so key. I think it's modeled in the early New Testament church that we need to get together in a level where we can have community. Go back to our statement as I close. And I'm going to read it one more time because it just brings to remembrance our purpose here, both collectively and personally. Purpose of us as believers here is to be a Christ-centered community that worships God, proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through biblical instruction, prayer, fellowship, all those things from the early church, equips us as believers to serve God and share faith as a way of life. Each day was added to their number because they were affecting their friends. I read a report. The early church, we go into our garages at home. In this culture, we drive into our garage. The door goes up. We drive it closed. We go in the door from our garage into our house, and nobody sees us. Well, the first century, they would have had kind of apartments, and they would have all lived kind of close, and so they would have went into the common area, and they would have had their Bible study, and, you know, the guy would be over the fence listening, and there would be an interaction of social neighborhood where they would say, hey, I see what you're doing, and so there would have been an outreach that would have happened, and we kind of look at our small groups as being a spot where we can evangelize as well. That's what the early church did. That's what we're called to do. Our challenge is, how do we put this into real shoe leather here at Bethel Bible Chapel, September 2016. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you've given us. We thank you for the encouraging testimonies of Ken and Linda and Candy. We thank you that you've touched hearts, Lord. You're working. You're doing amazing things. Your spirit is in this room and is working in us and through us. We thank you that we have small groups. We thank you we have leadership to and host homes, Lord. We just, again, want to be a vibrant group of believers that own you as Lord and Master. We want to be all in, Lord. We want you to be, we want you to take the wheel. Lord, we just again ask that you'll help us and encourage us as each one of us consider how to get involved this fall, Lord. We again pray. We pray for every ministry. We connect for Sunday school, divorce care, ladies' coffee hour. Lord, we just pray for each one of these ministries that proclaim the news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and work as a means to bring us together in more Christ-likeness and fellowship. We just thank you again, and we ask that you'll bless each one here as we are challenged to move forward, owning you as Lord of our life. We pray this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just before we...